I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, the incoming freshman class of Congress is in Washington this week, learning their way around. We will talk to one of the newcomers. He is a one-time high school dropout turned artist turned lawmaker from Detroit who will soon be representing his city here. That conversation is later. First, though, we want to dig a little deeper into the potential long-term impact of the midterm election. As we told you last week, the Republican Party now holds more seats in the 50 state legislatures than at any time since before the Great Depression. We wanted to talk about what that might mean in one state, so we decided to go to Texas, where Republicans now control nearly a two-thirds majority of both chambers, as well as all statewide offices. And in addition to redrawing the lines for the legislative districts with new census information, that also means they'll be taking up such hot-button issues as immigration. To talk more about this, we called the head of the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus, State Representative Trey Martinez-Fisher. To this point, the caucus has been all Democrats, but come January, the group could include as many as five new Republican members. One of them is with us, Larry Gonzalez. Thank you both so much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, Michelle.
So let's start with you, Representative Martinez-Fisher. For those who are unfamiliar with your organization, it might be surprising to find out that the caucus was actually created in the 1970s so that Mexican Americans could get a voice within the Democratic caucus in Texas. Could you just tell us a little bit about that?
Certainly. That is a great starting point. I mean, the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus was loosely put together in the 1960s, in the late 60s, but was formally chartered in 1973. And at the time, the three, four, five brothers and sisters came together to protect themselves from a very strong Anglo-dominated Democratic Party that didn't really seem to care too much about their views and their positions on the issues. And believe it or not, the very first thing they rallied behind was to get one seat on the powerful Budget Writing Appropriations Committee. Today, going forward, we are now the largest and oldest Latino caucus in the United States. At the time before the November elections, we had 44 members of our caucus, and you know, we were well-placed within the Texas House of Representatives as a nonpartisan, issue-oriented caucus.
Now, and by nonpartisan, you mean it is intentionally and supposed to be open to members of either party?
We have two simple rules to be a member of the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus. You either have to be brown or you have to have a brown heart. And in those two categories, we have folks that are Anglos that represent majority Hispanic districts. And we welcome those to become eligible. We've had Republicans in our caucus before, but at the time of the 2010 elections, our caucus was comprised of 44 Democrats.
So there have been Republicans in the group before. There have never been more than two at a time, however. So in this upcoming session, there are five potential members. So, Representative Gonzalez, congratulations to you on your
election. Thank you very
election.
Much, Michelle.
So what about you? Are you planning to join?
Absolutely. I think it's a fantastic opportunity to join with Representative Martinez-Fisher and the other members of the delegation to have some great conversations about Latino issues going forward.
So what about the issue that's already come forward, even in advance of the next session? State Representative Debbie Riddle has already filed a bill that would bring the Arizona-type law to Texas. How are you going to discuss this within the caucus? Representative Gonzalez, do you have an opinion about this?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michelle, going forward, you know, a lot of my friends there at the Capitol know that this is my 10th session going forward. I mean, I have served as staff for nine sessions, and so I'm very familiar with the workings of the body as a whole, but also the policy. I've not sat down yet, as we're still transitioning from campaign to elected office, to read Representative Riddle's legislation. But I think going forward, the biggest thing for me when it comes to those kinds of issues is to, you know, protect our Latin American, you know, U.S. citizens and Texas citizens from any kind of racial profiling. I mean, to me, it's extremely unfair and extremely prejudicial to just make assumptions based on someone's physical appearance. And so, you know, I will look at all the legislation, but I got to tell you, a big priority of mine is to make certain that type of language is not something that I'm, you know, going to be accepting of. I just want to make certain that everything is fair and above board.
Representative Martinez-Fisher, when news of this bill was made public, you tweeted, "Game on." And I was curious what you mean by that. And has it been helpful, you think, that the group has been – I mean, it is officially open, but the fact that it has had a particular political profile. And are you at all concerned about unity being dissipated and your voice on issues being dissipated because it is more diverse?
Well, no, not necessarily. I mean, in fact, our caucus has very little control over the membership. The membership is, you know, at the selection of the voters. When the voters send lawmakers to Austin, there are those of Latino descent that will automatically be granted and extended an invitation to join the caucus. And then, of course, there'll be those who represent Latino-dominated districts with a 50% voting age population or higher. You know, we have no control over that. What we do have control over is when we find Latinos in the legislature or those that meet the criteria, is that we all try to come together. And in this particular instance going forward, I mean, it's important for us to go forward together with Republicans and Democrats. I mean, let's make no mistake that when both political parties are courting the Latinos and the Latino vote, then we win. If our issues are first and central in those campaigns, then we win.
Okay, but let's talk about, look, in the last session of the Texas House, one of the issues was a bill requiring a government photo ID in order to cast a ballot. And these whole issues of voter integrity, ballot integrity, tend to cut along partisan lines. Democrats tend to be interested in access. Republicans tend to be interested in what they consider ballot integrity issues. They tend to be more interested in whether everybody voting who's eligible to vote. Democrats tend to be more interested in not cutting off access to voting for people who are in fact eligible. And they tend to be at loggerheads over things like this photo ID provision, which the caucus opposed in the last election. Now, Mr. Gonzalez, it's my understanding that you support that provision.
I do. I mean, for me, you said it is a voter integrity issue. But I think when you come to the table as lawmakers in January, the really successful policies and the really successful policymakers understand that while you can disagree, you don't have to be disagreeable. You know, to me, a lot of it is tone and conversation and just how you treat people going forward. For me, it's extremely important that we sit down and just, you know, very respectfully have those conversations. And if we can just, you know, alter that tone a little bit, I think we'll go a long way toward making some, you know, great relationships and some good policy.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking with the chairman of the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus in the Texas Legislature, Trey Martinez-Fisher. Also with us is Republican Representative-elect Larry Gonzalez. He expects to be the first Republican in some years to join the caucus come January. Representative Martinez-Fisher, what about you? Are you equally optimistic about the tone that you can strike and the working relationships that you can develop, especially now that, I don't know if you, how you feel about my using this term, you're a minority within the minority?
Sure. That's something that's that I'm getting used to in the halls of the Capitol. But, you know, here's really the point. Texas has always had a tradition of working in a bipartisan manner. And for the most part, overwhelmingly, if you look at our voting records, there is about 80% of our agenda that is done in the Texas Capitol that is usually unanimous. There's usually 140, 145 votes in support of. There are some issues that divide us. And how we divide over those issues and how we reconcile those issues are really, really important. I think that, you know, the issue of voter ID gets a lot of attention because it was a very divisive argument. But, you know, there has been nothing said about, you know, budget choices that are made that affect communities of color, that in some instances you can look at them through a partisan lens and say, well, there's a partisan result. Or you can look at it through, you know, just looking at the people that's affected by the policy. And sometimes, at least in Texas, sometimes the people of color tend to be Democrats. And so that's not an indictment on Malk's, you know, political profile. It's more of an indictment on the constituents they represent. And on the issues that we can't, you know, agree on, we're going to do it respectfully. I think what we both recognize is our caucus is diverse and broad enough to have a kaleidoscope of perspective. But we don't have a tolerance for those that wish to demonize and to dehumanize, you know, people, whether they be immigrants or whether they be children born in the United States to immigrant parents. We have to have a respectful tone, and I totally agree with Larry with regard to that.
So where do you think your caucus might have a particular impact? Representative Martinez-Fisher, where do you think the caucus can have the most impact in the next session?
Well, we have a very large caucus. Currently, as we speak, we have a member on every standing committee of the House. We have 9 committee chairmen, 17 vice chairmen. We have a pretty broad reach. I will tell you, we started as a civil and social justice caucus, but we have proven very quickly that we can walk and chew gum at the same time. We're not a one-trick pony. We have some very talented members, both men and women, with advanced degrees, people who own their own companies, people who sit on boards and prestigious, you know, positions with national organizations. We can work on complex problems. We can work on energy policy. We can work on water, which is a big issue in the state of Texas. We can work on small businesses and corporate tax issues. We really have unparalleled reach. Now, I think our reach is going to broaden because now we have some strategic allies that are in the Republican caucus. And I think that's important. I mean, we're breaking a barrier here, and I think it's really going to be what we make of it. And I think that, you know, we're starting out on a very good foot, and we realize that we're not going to be able to dominate every issue of the day. But when Mount gets motivated, we will find ourselves, you know, 39 votes ahead of everyone else if we stick together on issues of mutual concern.
And Representative Gonzalez, final thought?
For me, the bigger picture is showing that you can work on good policy and that you can get in there and work together and get some very good things done, you know, without necessarily having to be divisive or polarizing. I think when it comes down to the individuals in the caucus, we share a lot in common, how we were raised and how we grew up. And I told Representative Trey Martinez Fisher there that he represents a part of San Antonio that my grandparents lived in for 60 years. And to me, that's important. To me, to be able to understand each other on that kind of level is significant, because at the end of the day, while you have a lot of policy decisions to make, we're all individuals and we all have backgrounds that we bring to the table. So I think big picture for me, it's understanding that we can have those conversations and there is going to be open dialogue and that we're going to work together the best that we can. And, you know, like I said earlier, we may agree on some and disagree on others. But for me, it's the opportunity to prove to a lot of people who think it can't be done that we can have that dialogue and that it can be respectful and we can work together on the things that we have mutual interest and common goals for.
That was Representative-elect Larry Gonzalez. He will represent parts of Austin, Texas. He was kind enough to join us from Austin. Also with us, Texas Representative Trey Martinez Fisher. He is the chair of the Mexican-American Legislative Caucus. He represents parts of San Antonio, and he joined us from member station KSTX in San Antonio. Gentlemen, I thank you both so much for speaking with us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Michelle.